This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. Now, misogyny, racism, entitlement, and hypocrisy. Are we talking about the perils of social media? Nope, actually, it's just another day in Malaysia's parliament. If you've been following the proceedings recently, you'll have realised that some really horrible things have been said with what seems like little or no consequence. As the final parliament sitting for 2019 draws to a close, we are going to be talking about the standards that we should hold our elected representatives to and why are they being allowed to get away with bad behaviour. We welcome your thoughts and feedback on this topic. Please do tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And I believe we have a producer standing by to take calls. You can reach us at 03-7733-2900. So we're diving into a behind-the-scenes look within our August hall with Member of Parliament for Kluang, Wong Shu Chi, in our monthly show with Rajiv Rishakaran, who's also the Bukit Gasing Adun. Hello, Shu Chi and Rajiv. Welcome to BFM. Welcome back to BFM, Rajiv.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so based on the news that hit yesterday, I sense that this discussion is going to have a fair bit of a fair share of blood-boiling moments. So let's start off on a positive note. Should you, perhaps you could start with your own path to Parliament. How did you get started in politics?
I actually started my career as a journalist, but in 2011, I was asked to join a political party, and I found it maybe that was the only way to achieve my dream.
Which was
to make the media industry freer than before.
Right.
And to reform the media industry. And I found that maybe to have the political reform is a first step.
Mm.
So I made the decision then that I need to take the approach to go into politics first before I can do whatever I want in media.
And so what was that first step into politics for you?
I was recruited by the leader to join the political party and work in the political party for the political education department. And in 2013, I was nominated to contest at Senai State Assembly seat.
And you then became the Adun?
Yeah, correct, in Johor.
Okay, which is something that Rajiv is all very well familiar with.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what I wanted to know then is then the next step after that, where did you go from Adun of Senai?
How long
did you perhaps spend in that position first is a good place to start.
Yeah, I spent 5 years as opposition representative in Johor State Assembly. It was a very good learning ground, I would say. And I learned a lot for that 5 years. And so in 2018, I was nominated by the party to contest in Kluang, the seat in the centre Johor.
Okay, and now you are a parliamentarian. You are the Member of Parliament for Kluang. Okay, so what I wanted to check or what I wanted to ask the both of you was this. We're going to be talking a lot about the behaviour and ethics of politicians and parliamentarians throughout this conversation. So what I want to know is when the both of you entered politics, did you feel that there were personal liberties that you had to immediately give up or that there were personal liberties that the party expected you to give up?
I don't think that was really on my mind at all. There was definitely a lot of considerations, but you know, giving up personal liberties was really wasn't something on my mind. Yes.
What about for you, Shuji?
Maybe not so much for the men, but for women, definitely yes. We kind of like give up the personal liberty on how we can dress up ourselves.
Oh, explain. I would be interested in hearing this.
Yeah, especially the first year when I was elected as the State Assembly Woman for Senai.
Okay.
I think 2013. And for that year and the following year, we have Ramadan, the Bulan Ramadan, together with the lunar calendar Ghost Month.
Okay.
Having these two festivals, I mean, the religious thing and the events go together is kind of like a disaster for female reps, especially who need to attend both most of the time.
Okay.
The question we usually get is, why do you wear baju kurung to a ghost man potoh dinner?
Yeah.
And we cannot wear, I mean, you cannot wear normal long dress mm-hmm. to the bulan Ramadan. We tend to wear baju kurung.
Right.
So I asked around my colleagues, other women elector reps,
mm-hmm.
what do they wear?
Probably keep a change in the car.
You're right. You get it. That is one of the answers. The
guys do that too, actually.
I can imagine.
We change between all kinds of different clothes, from suits to batik to mm-hmm. More casual wear, sportswear. So I think that has become somewhat normal in the life of a politician.
Yes.
Maybe finding a place to change may not be as easy for a woman as mm-hmm. a man. But petrol stations and whatnot come in handy for this.
What an interesting personal liberty to give up. And thank you for shedding light on that. It's something I wouldn't have thought about, but yeah. So having said that, now that you've been in this political arena for a while, what do you wish that you knew about life as an elected representative before you had been elected? What if there was something that you could have like looked into the future and been prepared for? What would that have been? Besides the keeping two changes of clothes in the car.
Actually, I was quite prepared. I mean, because I was a journalist to cover the parliament lobby.
Mm.
So I knew then how politicians work. Just that I was a journalist, so I covered a press conference and I need to do my homework after the press conference.
Mm.
But for the politician, they need to do their homework before the press conference.
Sure.
And spend quite a lot of time on that.
Mm. So the ability to be able to have information at your fingertips is something that you already had.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Well, you sound like you were well prepared for a life in parliament.
Not so. But I mean, to prepare the homework, yes. But to face it personally, like my personal life,
uh-huh.
I'm not.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to take a short break now. And then when we come back from some messages, I'm going to actually get into that. What life as a parliamentarian is actually like. I'm speaking to the MP for Kluang, who is Wong Shuchi, who will soon offer us a peek into what goes on in Parliament. This is our monthly show with Rajiv Rishakaran, who's the Adun for Bukit Gasing. We're taking a short break now. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. I'm speaking to Wong Shuchi, the Member of Parliament for Kluang, as well as Rajiv Rishakaran, the Adun for Bukit Gasing, about the behaviour we should be expecting from our elected representatives in representing us, the Rakyat. And why are we asking you this? Well, because some of them behave abysmally, going by the recent proceedings in Parliament. So what's your MP like? Are they a credit or an embarrassment to the position of elected representative? Tell us by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 0377-332-900. Shuchi, just before we came on air, we were having a bit of a chat, and you were saying to me that you describe yourself as a backbencher in politics, a backbencher in Parliament. Rajiv, perhaps you can just jump in at this point and give us a quick kind of definition of what that means.
All right. So, you know, every election, we elect a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone gets one vote for a state assemblyman and one vote for a member of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So we elect 222 MPs.
Yes.
And in the case of Selangor, we also elect 56 Aduns in total.
Okay.
Now, out of that, a small portion will go on to become the executive, so the government. So that will be the prime minister, the cabinet ministers, and the deputy ministers. So
okay.
they are in the category of what we call the executive. So they run the government. All the departments that
mm-hmm.
we have in Malaysia answer to a ministry,
mm-hmm.
one ministry or the other, and every ministry has a minister as a boss.
Can I just jump in? So in order to be a minister, do you have to be a member of parliament?
Yes, you either have to be a member of the Dewan Rakyat or the Dewan Negara.
Okay.
But yes, you have to be a member of one of the houses.
All right, got it. So if you haven't won a seat, the prime minister could presumably appoint you as a senator.
Correct, that's
great.
Right.
Okay, so this term backbencher.
So then, if you are from the government party, the governing party,
mm-hmm.
but you're not part of the executive, then you are a backbencher. And
oh.
then you have the third category, which is the opposition, the
okay.
party that lost the elections.
So the backbenchers form quite a large portion.
It is quite a large.
Right.
So we have around 70 to 80 backbenchers in parliament. We have around 60 members of government or the front benches.
Okay.
So this is terms and styles that we've inherited from the British Parliament.
Right.
So, basically in UK, you see the benches that face the centre of Parliament. The front benches would be the ministers and the deputy ministers, and then at the back would be the back benches. And that's basically how people are seated in Parliament.
So there's a geographical difference, but is there a behavioural difference?
There's a functional difference.
Okay.
So it's not so much of a behavior. Maybe behavior is beholden to the individual and his or her character, but in terms of function.
Okay.
So the backbenchers don't run government departments. So they don't go to the office and have civil servants coming to them and say, can we do this? And this application for your approval, or do you approve this? You reject that. So ministers make executive decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they run the departments under them. So every minister has maybe between 5 to 50 departments under their portfolio. So they're in charge of how those departments run, function, and they're in charge and accountable to the backbenchers and the opposition in Parliament to answer and to be accountable for how those departments are functioning.
And it's quite a loud voice, right? I mean, if you're saying 60 to 70 backbenchers, that's nearly a third.
Yes, yes. And then the rest would be the opposition.
Got it. Okay, all
right. So this is maybe quite similar with all the other British parliaments. So we have two systems in the world. The US system is where you have a separation of power.
Mm.
The executive is elected separately. The legislative is elected separately.
Got it.
But in Britain, as well as Malaysia and Australia and most other
Commonwealth
countries,
yes,
we follow the British style where we only elect one person, which is at the federal level. So only one MP, 222 MPs, they get to Parliament, they choose one Prime Minister out of them, and that one Prime Minister then chooses his whole cabinet, the 29 ministers and another 29 deputy ministers, and then the remainder who are not chosen to be ministers or deputy ministers will be the backbenchers.
Okay, and everybody then congregates in Parliament for, is it three sittings a year. And we are now coming to the end of the final sitting for 2019, which ends tomorrow, I believe.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Tomorrow will be the last day for Dewan Rakyat. But
then
Dewan Negara
continues.
Yeah.
So Dewan Negara has, I think, another 2 more weeks
correct
to go. So ending quite close to Christmas.
Okay, all right. So that was a fantastic outline of what the system looks like, right? But Chuchi, you are sitting inside the halls of Parliament. Tell me what a day in the life of a parliamentarian feels like. How long are you there? What time do you get there? Do you have to clock in? Is somebody taking attendance?
Yeah, we have to clock in every day.
All right.
If you want to claim for the allowances to attend a sitting. Yeah. If you don't clock in, you won't be able to claim it at all because it is an automatic system.
Okay.
So usually, for backbencher, a junior backbencher like me, we usually attend the sitting start from morning 10 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, so the normal sitting will start at 10 o'clock for question and answer time, the Q&A time, until...
So maybe you can tell us, how does this Q&A time work? Do people just randomly stand up? Or?
Yeah, we have to submit our question a week in advance.
A week. Okay.
Yeah, so you before the sitting start.
Mm.
But we have also amended our standing order, so we are allowed to submit another 3 questions at later date
for
the oral question and answer time.
But basically, they're all submitted in advance.
Okay.
So the minister does have a little bit of time to prepare his answers.
And do all questions have to be answered, or does the minister pick and choose?
Not the minister to pick and choose, but the House will, I mean, the secretary and the speaker will arrange which question should be on top of the agenda of the day.
Can a parliamentarian, can an MP turn around and say, listen, we've gone the entire year, I've been submitting questions throughout all 3 sittings, not once has my question been picked. What's going on? Are you allowed to question that?
Sure, you can question your speaker, but... Mm. I've somehow never heard anyone have that complaint before.
We will grumble
behind the scenes. But you see, what happens is the questions are sorted in order. Now, this works in the same way in the state as it does in Parliament.
Okay.
And you go through the order. So question one, two, three.
Chronologically, as in when it was date of submission.
No. As sorted by the speaker and the parliamentary secretary. So in the order which they have sorted it, the questions will flow in the 1.5 hours. And sometimes we get 10 questions answered and sometimes maybe 15, 17 questions answered. It depends on how long the answers are to these questions.
Because I assume that there's also an overlap in questions. Sometimes...
Yes, if there's an overlap, the minister will answer them together. So the minister will make special mention that I'm answering this question maybe from Pontian together with that question from Termalo and that other question from Ipoh Timur. So that's a very common place where the minister answering will lump the questions which are similar.
So could you help me understand this then? Are questions only submitted to ministers?
No, they're submitted to the parliament.
To the parliament.
Not and to the parliament ministers. Parliament will arrange in order and the ministers would have to then answer them accordingly.
So is there such a thing as submitting a question to a particular member of parliament? Like I would like this member of parliament to answer this.
No, because parliament holds the government accountable.
Great.
Yes. Okay. So we ask question for the minister to answer. So usually Q&A time 90 minutes in the morning, then we will go into the agenda, which is, for example, this sitting is the budget debate. Mm-hmm. And after the budget debate, we have already done the budget. So now it's debate on quite a number of bills.
Okay.
So from 10 to 11:30 is the question time. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the news coverage tends to come out of this question time. Mm-hmm. From 11:30 onwards, then all the bills in order that the government has submitted to parliament they will go through it. So some bills get very long airtime.
Okay.
Like the budget, that was many weeks. The supply bill.
Right.
So the budget's actually a supply bill, one of the bills. And that has the longest airtime. Mm. It's something that everyone really dives into detail and debates in great detail. But some other bills may only get 4 hours, three hours, some a whole day. So this is the prerogative of speaker to decide for each bill how long will the debate happen before a decision is made.
And then you guys go into lunch. Would that be right? Is there a lunchtime or do you work through lunch?
Yes, we have a lunchtime 1 o'clock until 2:30.
And I wouldn't be a Malaysian broadcaster if I didn't ask you, what's the food like in the Parliament cafeteria?
I wish the food can be much healthier.
Okay.
I live with it.
Okay. All right. Then what happens in the afternoon?
Oh, afternoon there will be debate on all the bills.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
So from 11:30 until the end of parliament, it's the same thing.
And is there a prescribed time for the end of parliament or is it when the work is done?
Correct. When the work is done, I mean, the agenda set for the day is done, then we can go back home. So, for example, yesterday was the only day that we could go home before 6 for 2 months.
Okay.
We were all so happy.
And normally, what time does it end?
Yeah, usually for the past 2 months, I was sitting usually end after 8 o'clock.
What's the latest you've ever been in Parliament?
11 something.
That's
but this is
day.
Not the latest yet. For the previous sitting, I mean the
I
last
think it
term,
was 4 a.m.
4 a.m. or 5 a.m. until the next day morning. So they have to stop the clock.
Ah, you've mentioned an important term, the clock. What is this clock?
So because the Parliament Day is that day itself, so the clock stops at midnight.
Stop at 12 midnight because it cannot go on until the next day.
So are decisions made then between midnight and 4 a.m.?
Or consider the previous day, 12.
Okay.
Yeah, so decisions are made. And I think that also goes to show the hours that an MP would have to put in and the amount of bills that are constantly on the table. So every minister is constantly bringing bills to the House because as they run their departments, as they run their ministries, they are constantly taking things to the next level.
Sure.
And so we have seen with EPF, now I think the EPF bill is, was it yesterday, today?
Today. It is now, I think, so maybe just passed.
Yeah, so that's about the ability thing to transfer the money from the husband to the wife. Mm-hmm. And so that change requires, you know, changing something in law. So the minister has to bring it. So actually, you know, having had some experience working for a minister, there's actually quite a queue on the minister side to bring bills. So Parliament is to some extent quite overworked because the queue from the ministers to bring in bills to, uh-huh. to get amendments to laws done, that there is that queue waiting. Okay. And it's not that Parliament sits and does nothing. And that's why they work until 10 p.m.
Oh, no, I would never
regularly.
Imagine that they do nothing. So lawmaking is constant work. But can I also ask, and you don't have to throw anybody under the bus here, is the number of MPs consistent throughout the day?
No. Okay. Some may come in very early right. and leave after certain hours to meet somebody, because not all backbenchers not holding any positions out there. There
right.
may be some chairman, chairperson to some other agencies. Uh-huh. So they also have meeting. And for example, I'm one of the members sit in the public account committee.
Yes.
And PAC and other committees also have meetings when the main chamber having their agenda being debated.
Got it.
So we need to come out from the chamber as well to have our meeting resume.
I think that's a very important thing that was mentioned. Maybe we should take 2 steps back so that the listeners out there can follow what's happening. So what is the select committee? So you are a member of the public accounts committee. Maybe you could tell the listeners out there what's the PAC, what are select committees, and who sits in them, and what do you do?
Yeah, usually we have 5 to 6 parliament committees. But beside that, for this round, we have already formed another 6 extra select committees to discuss on some issues specifically. For example, we have a Jawatan Kuasa Terpilih untuk menimbang undang-undang,
okay.
which is led by Ram Kapa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they tabled the report of IPCMC yesterday.
Yes.
And Public Account Committee is another committee that almost all the parliaments around the world have that committee
mm-hmm.
to check the Auditor General report submitted almost every quarter and check the account of the government. And we have some other committees as well. And this government, the Pakatan Harapan, is hoping to set up a lot more policy committees to pursue detailed policy issues. For example, we have already set up the defense and I think domestic affair, right?
Mm.
Yeah, together to discuss the KDN and the defense issue in depth in the committee. Because otherwise, parliamentarians can only discuss the issue at, I would say, very surface in the full house.
So how do you become part of a committee?
All right. So I think maybe I will take even one more step back to this committee. So a few minutes ago, we talked about the front benches,
yes.
the executive, the back benches and the opposition. So while the executive runs their government departments and their ministries, these committees are something that we inherited with the British Parliament.
Mm.
They're part and parcel of how the British set up the institution of Parliament to be a check and balance on the executive.
Mm.
So the various select committees are made out of backbenchers and opposition members to the ratio of which the various parties are represented in Parliament.
Good.
So the bigger your party is in Parliament, the more members you have. So that principle, we try to adhere to it to keep that ratio reflective of what Parliament actually is.
Mm.
And that these committees are not making executive decisions. What they do is they are looking into how the government is behaving or operating.
Got it.
And then, where necessary, they will produce reports to Parliament
mm-hmm.
to say that we've discovered this and this is our recommendations.
Okay.
And then the executive will respond to these reports in Parliament. So we have one way of holding the government accountable through the quick question and answer session
mm-hmm.
In the first portion of the day.
Got it.
Now that's like a 1 minute question with a 3 minute answer. That's a very quick touch and go check and balance on the government. And then you have a very in-depth where they could spend anywhere from 3 hours to 50 hours
wow.
really diving deep into an issue.
Right.
So when a member of parliament, depending on how much they want to look into some issues, could volunteer himself, and this is between for the party leadership to then nominate from their party members
right.
who would go to which committee.
So it also depends on your interest and whether you want to be part of the committee.
It is a balance of everything, okay. Because you know you can't have some committees empty. So sure. maybe sometimes you may not get your first choice, especially if you're junior.
Okay.
And I think the more senior ones would definitely get their
usually
preference.
Usually will get what they want.
Okay.
But by and large, I think everyone tries to match everyone's interests because we want people who are passionate sitting on the committees. So, but basically, this is what the committees do. So it is. When Parliament is in session, it's not just the main chamber in operation.
Yeah.
You have many other official Parliament business happening outside the main chamber. And, and this is something that visibility isn't quite there because these committees didn't quite exist under the previous BN regime. Under the previous BN regime, you just had the one committee, the Public Accounts Committee. Mm. But now all these additional committees are coming into play.
Correct. But for the select committees I was sitting are not open to outsiders. So it is not reported until our report is tabled in the House.
Okay.
So we need to improve on that, definitely.
Can I ask about a terminology that I hear quite often associated with the number of parliamentarians that are sitting? This idea of quorum. Mm-hmm. What does it mean and what is its function?
We need a limited, the minimum number of the Member of Parliament to have the sitting. So the number we need is 26 out of 222. So what happened this round is we usually have more than 20, around 20 members from the government side. But the opposition sometime, they will just send their people out and left maybe one or two and then raise up the standing order and ask a speaker to check the quorum. And they should be in the House as well, but they will go out and then left one or two members raise a quorum call. And if there is no enough number, speaker will have to ring the bell to call everybody in. And that is when media will report there is no enough Member of Parliament in the chamber.
So they're just hanging around outside?
I wouldn't use the word hanging around. So let's try to picture this. So we talked just now about the EPF amendment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So normally when you have a bill that's being tabled,
right,
that particular minister responsible for it will be the one tabling and he would be in the House.
Mm.
So the other ministers, so the Minister of Transport, Minister of Tourism may not have anything to do with it. So they probably will not be in the House.
Got
and
it.
They do have governing work to do. They do have many things to attend to and ministries to run. They might be in the Parliament House or they might be in their respective ministries or they might be attending to events or functions or meetings outside Parliament. So normally, if you talk about the front benches, so you would have the responsible minister for that agenda that's in the House. Now, then the backbencher, the opposition, each party will allocate a few MPs to debate any bill. So not every MP will debate every bill.
Okay.
Because it simply isn't time for that.
Okay.
If you have 100 people debating every bill, each bill will take 2 weeks to pass.
Sure.
And we won't be able to get the work of governing done. So then comes the question, if you're an MP not assigned to debate a bill, do you then also schedule some other meetings?
Right.
Because you are also trying to maybe follow up with the health department for an issue with the hospital in your constituency.
Understood.
You're also trying to follow up with KTM on the issue of the train station in your constituency. And so I think, you know, we all try to multitask to get things done.
Correct.
Because our constituents not only expect us to sit in Parliament, they also expect us to get our constituency issues
great.
Resolved.
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought up this idea of expectations because I want to be able to very quickly go into this whole thing about parliamentarians being in the news recently for outright sexist and racist statements as well, and seemingly only getting away with very light raps on the wrist, 2-day suspension, although he did ask for a 4-day suspension, I believe. Your thoughts on how sexist and racist parliamentarians should be dealt with?
The remarks are definitely uncalled for, especially what he said yesterday was meant to provoke.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was meant to provoke the other backbench, other members of parliament to get angry. So fortunate that the one who were being provoked were not, super angry and very calm to handle it. So, of course, suspending 2 days, I would argue, is not enough because he is a usual, he always did that. He always does that. So how to make sure this kind of behavior doesn't repeat and repeat again?
I was going to ask you the same question. Do we have a current code of conduct for parliamentarians?
We don't have that currently. It all depends how MP behave themselves and whether the public can condemn themselves enough because they are still being elected into the House. Whether we can convey the message to that constituency that your MP is horrible.
Rajiv, your thoughts on this?
I mean, there's just no excuse. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even try to explain why they do it. I don't understand. And I think there's just absolutely no excuse for MPs saying things like that.
Okay. All right. Well, we're fast running out of time, but I just want to maybe ask you very quickly, Shuchi. So Parliament is coming to an end for this sitting. Is there anything on the table for the next sitting in 2020 that you're hoping to see come to light?
First, the constitution amendments has just been tabled. And according to what ministers say, it will be discussed and debated next round. Mm-hmm. So it will be next year. And hopefully we will see more institutionalized reform, including the constitution amendments and some other new bills to be tabled in the House next year.
Okay. Well, I wish you all the very best with that. And thank you for offering us this really, really fascinating look, both of you, Shuchi and Rajiv, into what really goes on in our august halls. Much, much appreciated. I've been speaking to Wong Shuchi, the Member of Parliament for Kluang, as well as Rajiv Richakaran, the Adun for Bukit Gasing, about the behaviour we should expect from our elected representatives in representing us, the Rakyat. If you missed any part of this interview, any previous Live and Learn segments, you can download the podcast on our BFM app or on Spotify. You've been listening to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.